Today is the first Sunday of our missions month. The entire month of September, we're going to talk about Project Rescue and missions. And I got some good news for you. Last Wednesday night, we feed, if you don't know that, we have a food ministry here. The first Wednesday of every month, we give groceries to people in need. And this last Wednesday night, we gave groceries to 88 families in our community. Can we give God a hand for that? Incredible. The bad news is we turned away 17 cars. We ran out of food. So if you would like to give to the food pantry ministry, the food ministry, just on your envelope, just put for food ministry, and it'll go towards that. Second of all, we announced last week that the entire offering that wasn't designated went to the building fund. And this is not an exact number, but over $11,000 came in last Sunday for our building fund. Isn't that great? It's awesome. So I just want to thank you for your giving that makes it possible to give out those groceries. It makes it possible to do our building. This year, we've done about $100,000 of capital improvements, including these screens, including those security cameras on our building. And we're just very grateful. We've given over $50,000 away to missions this year, supporting missionaries and missionary projects around the world. So your faithful giving is making a difference here in Henderson, Kentucky, and it's making a difference around the world. And I just want to say thank you. So this morning, I'm doing something. I've been here not quite 2 years yet, November, first Sunday of November, my two-year anniversary. And I've talked about giving periodically, but this Sunday, if you're a guest, I apologize, but we're going to talk about this morning being generous. We're going to open our missions month by talking about being a generous person. So look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7, your device on the screen. Now, before we go to that, I want you to know that our finances are really good. I'm not speaking this morning about our finances because we're in trouble. We're not in trouble. We've had a very good year this year. So again, I just announced $11,000 came to the building fund, feed 88 families. A couple of weeks ago, we had a guest missionary here, and you gave over $2,000 to that missionary offering. I mean, you've been really good. But I just want to talk about, what does the Bible say about money? What's the Bible say about money? So look at me, Deuteronomy 15, 7. But if there are any poor Israelites in your towns where you arrive in the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be, look, two things, hard-hearted, or what's the second thing? Tight-fisted towards them. Notice that the writer here, God says, tight-fistedness is a result of hard-heartedness. Tight-fistedness is a result of hard-heartedness. Instead, he said, be what? Generous and lend them whatever they need. Here's what I've learned. Generosity is never about how much money you have. Generosity is always about the condition of your heart. Now, I'm not talking about the amount you give. Some people here have more than others, and you're able to give more than other people do. And I'm not talking about the amount you give. I'm talking about the heart that you give from. What I've noticed is there are some people here giving $5 in that miracle offering. That may be a whole lot of money for you. I want you to know God sees your heart in your giving, not necessarily the amount you give. I know other people, and I've seen, they may give more money, but it's a very small fraction of what they could have gave. It's not a matter of much about the amount you gave, it's what you could have done. Look at me at Deuteronomy 15:10. Deuteronomy 15:10. You're going to see this word over and over again today. Give what? Generously. What is God's expectation of your giving? It's for you to be generous. He goes, be generous to the poor, not grudgingly. That word grudgingly means to be reluctant or resentful. God's concerned about your attitude when you give. He goes, when you give, don't give grudgingly. Don't be resentful. Don't be reluctant if you're giving. For the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. God's word here. Here's the principle I want you to get. That if you'll let go of what's in your hand, God will let go of what's in his hand, and God always has more what's in his hand than you have in your hand. I'll say that again. No way of saying that. If God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. If you'll let go of what's in your hand, God will let go of what's in his hand. He says, if you'll be generous and you'll give with the right attitude, he goes, I'll bless you in everything you do. Another part of the Bible says, God loves what kind of giver? Cheerful. There should be a delight to be able to give to the house of God and to the things of God. So if you give what's in your hands, God will give you what's in his hands. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your what? Wealth. You know what the word honor means? It means to recognize God's value or worth. So let me ask you a question. Based upon your giving, how much do you value God? So the Bible says your giving will be in proportion to how much you value or what worth you give to your God. That if you value God greatly, you'll be generous. If you value God smallly, you'll be stingy. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. Then God gives you a promise. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Remember, he's talking to an agricultural culture here. So he goes, if you'll recognize God's value, if you'll recognize God's worth, and you'll be generous with what you have, God will bless you. God says he will fill your barns with grain. How many know that if you're a farmer, you want a barn full of grain? He goes, he'll fill your fats overflowing with good wine. I love Proverbs 11:25. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. There's one thing that I've learned about faith. We live by faith, not by facts, not by what we see. See, it only makes sense to me that the less I give, the more I keep for myself, the more that I'll have for me. Well, let me know that's not true. The more you give, the more you have. See, God wants you to be a generous person. He goes, the generous will prosper. That word prosper means you'll have abundance in your life. It doesn't mean, listen, God's not a vending machine where you put in a quarter and get out a candy bar, or you give money an offering and get your miracle. We don't treat God that way. That demeans God. That's not honoring God. That demeans God. We don't believe that. We don't believe you purchase or buy God's blessings. What God is saying here, that if you're generous to God, he'll be generous to you. And isn't that kind of way in our human interactions? That if someone's good to me, I'm just motivated to be good to them back. If someone blesses me, I'm just kind of motivated to bless back. But if someone comes to me entitled, now boy, that demotivates me. I don't know about you. There's nothing worse than an entitled person that expects me to do something. That demotivates me. And so what we don't want to be God our Father is that we don't want to be entitled children. We want to be a generous child. Look at me in Malachi chapter 3. We're going to look at a lot of verses today. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring in all the tithe. What does the word tithe mean? It means 10%. See, throughout the teaching of the Old Testament, the Israelites brought 10% of their gain, their increase, to the temple. And that's how the temple operated. That's how the priests were paid, and that's how all the animals were bought, was through the tithe. He says, bring your tithe to the storehouse, and there'll be enough food in my temple. Because if you tithe, the temple have enough to run on. If you do, the Lord says in heaven, again, he makes a promise here. I will open the windows of heaven for you. And I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. He goes, if you'll be generous to me, I'll be more generous to you. Then he says something here that you cannot find anywhere else in the Bible. Try it. Put me to the test. This is the only time the Bible says it's okay to test God. And that's in your giving. He goes, test me. Prove me to be true. If you'll bring your tithe in the storehouse, I will bless you. But he even says more. I love this. Look at verse 11. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe. God makes two promises here. To provide for your need, and number two, to protect what you have. Look at that. He goes, if you'll bring in your tithe, I'll provide you what you need. And number two, I'll protect what you have. That means God will protect your family. God will protect you. He says, I'll provide what you need and I'll protect what you need. Now, so far, all the verses I've read have been from the Old Testament. What does the New Testament say about giving? Well, let's look. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and you will what? Receive. Your gift will return to you full Now, he's given a visual here of how God will bless you when you give to him. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured in your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That pressed down, say, my wife and I, we used to be world missionaries, and we traveled a lot. I mean, a lot. To a point that we always kept one suitcase always packed. I had two toothbrushes, two combs, two of everything, because we would just, when we get home, we would take the clothes out of the suitcase, but we'd leave that other suitcase packed with all of our personal items, because I never got a residency visa in Egypt, so by law, I had to leave the country every 28 days. I did that for 9 years. For 9 years, I traveled at least every 28 days somewhere. Now, my wife could get more in a suitcase. She became an artist of getting more in a suitcase than you can imagine. To the point that we couldn't get what we could get in a suitcase, she bought those vacuum packs. You ever seen those things? And you put clothes in it and then vacuum, it shrinks your clothes down. Then my wife would sit on that suitcase. I mean, to the point, you only allow 50 pounds of suitcase at the airport. There was times we didn't have an elevator and I had to carry all that luggage down the steps. We had some arguments over some of those suitcases. I'll just be honest with you. Like, you can't pack a suitcase there. 1 year, we went to Israel. And what I didn't know about Israel is they tend to drive, you love this, really small cars. And so we flew into Tel Aviv, and we had a missionary there picking us up to take us to his home. We stayed in their home. And we were on a several country trip. So to give my wife an excuse, we traveled to several countries. So we had, I think, two big suitcases. We probably had 200 pounds of luggage. 50 each, four suitcases, right? That guy picked us up in the little bitty car you've ever seen in your life. And my wife had to make a choice. Which gets in the car, her luggage or me? Because we were one fitting in the car. It's a long walk to that missionary's house. I just want you to know that day, I'm teasing. I'll never forget, the missionary name was Jason. He looked at me and goes, you got to be kidding me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't. We were tying suitcases on the roof of his car. We were praying the police didn't pick us over. But I'll tell you, now here's what God said. If you'll give to him, he'll give back to you so much, pressed down, shaken together, running over, poured out in your lap. For the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now again, he's talking about a heart condition. Not, because I recognize some people can give more than others. It's not about if you give $100 or $10. It's about what percentage of it was it? Were you generous? Did you do your best or did you do your least? And say, you know, I'll put $5 into that. He said, if you'll be generous to me, I'll be generous to you. Does this mean that we're all going to become millionaires? No. The Bible never promises that every believer is going to be a millionaire. Does this mean you'll never go through a difficult time if you give to God? No. But Jesus says you'll go through times of persecution. But you know what it does mean? That when you go through a difficult time, God will walk with you. And it does mean God will take care of your needs, that you can walk by faith. So we're not here teaching that everybody, God wants everybody to be a millionaire. There's two false doctrines when it comes to money that's taught in the church. One, God wants everybody to be rich. Well, that just ain't happened, right? Number two, God wants everybody to be poor. That's not true either. What the Bible does teach is that we're all to have a job and to work and to meet our family's needs, then as we can to give to the body of Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. Look with me in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. This is the Apostle Paul teaching. I've been a constant example. So here's what Paul says. I've been a counsel to you of those to help those in need by working hard. Paul goes, I've been an example to you because I work hard. Paul was a tent maker in addition to being a missionary. He goes, I work hard. You should remember the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Here's a key to financial freedom. You don't get to get. You get to give. If you'll get that mindset when it comes to money, You don't give to get. You give so you can give some more. When you look at it as just an opportunity of every time God blesses me, I get to bless someone else. Again, if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. So we don't give to get. Again, that's treating God like a Santa Claus or a vending machine. And that's demeaning to God. We don't give to get. Sometimes that's taught in the Christian world today, and it's a bad doctrine. We give so we can give more. We say, God, I'm going to give you this, and I believe you're going to bless me so much that next time I could give any more. We give to give, not give to get. Does that make sense? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, this next verse I really want you to look at. Stay with me. I know I'm teaching about money. Stay with me. It's a guest speaker next week, so you can look forward to that. But this verse is very important to come to giving in the church. Look with me. Paul says, remember, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. And I see Clay and Mindy over there. They're farmers. See Randy. They only plant a few seed. What kind of crop they're going to get? Small crop. The one who plants generously will get a generous one. Well, he's basically saying, the more seed you plant, the larger your harvest you get. But look at verse 7. Stay with me. You must decide in your heart how much to give. That's why I'm not saying today, I want some to give 50, some to give 100, some to give 200 in this miracle offering. Because the Bible says you're an adult. And you're to decide in your heart how much you're supposed to give. He goes, don't give reluctantly. Don't give grudgingly. Look at this. On response to pressure. You see that word right there? Response to, I want to stop there. The Bible teaches that it's wrong for preachers or evangelists to pressure or manipulate or guilt people to give. Say it again. It's wrong. We've got some preachers who are multimillionaires or have a widow's give 20 bucks out of their pocket saying, if you have a need, sow a seed. Well, buddy, sell one of your planes and give it to the widow, right? Just being honest with you. He says it's wrong for preachers to pressure people, to guilt people, or to manipulate people to giving. That's why here at First Assembly, we have a policy, and Jeff Gish, our bookkeeper's here, and Ross Scott, our treasurer. I don't know how much money you give, and I don't know when we take this miracle offering who's going to give. So listen to me. Your trust is more important to me than your money. Your trust is more important to me than your money. So my policy is, I don't know. The only time I ever ask Jeff or Ross about giving is when we have nominations for leadership. I believe to be a leader in our church, you ought to be a giver. I'll ask them, are these people regular givers? I never ask the amount. I just say, Jeff, do they give regularly? If he says yes, they're qualified to be in leadership. If he says no, then I've got to have a conversation with that person before they could be in leadership. But I'd never know. I have no idea how much money you've given to the church. None. Because that verse says, I'm not supposed to pressure you. There's other verses in the church that says, I'm not supposed to treat the rich better than I treat the poor. Well, it says, I don't know how much you give. I don't treat you any differently because I don't know what you're giving. And I want you to trust that. I want you to trust that if I'm interacting with you, that I don't have ulterior motives for you to give in an offering. I'm not going to know if you give or not. So this Bible verse is very important. You're not to give reluctantly. That's on you. You're to be generous. I'm not to pressure you or to guilt you or manipulate you to give. Does that make sense? For God loves a person who does what? Cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Again, we don't give to get. We give to give. If God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. For the scriptures say, they share freely and give what? Generously. You know how many times we've read that word generous today? That's the Bible standard. To be generous. Again, that's different for all of us here. I don't know about you, those who have been married. Kathy and I, generous has been different in different seasons. There's been some seasons in our life where we had abundance and we were able to give more. There's been other seasons of my life when I had twin boys in college, we had less to give because the university was taking it, right? Now, did God get upset with me when I reduced my giving when my twin boys went to university? No, God's not like that. That's cruel. God wants me to take care of my family. Listen, don't you ever give and not pay your mortgage. Can I ask you to do something? I had this in my first church, not here, first church I pastored. A lady decided to start giving in faith, so she started writing bad checks to the church and offering. We were paying like $25 every time she wrote a bad check, right? Because the bank was, finally I had a meeting with her like, you're killing me. Don't write a bad check. She goes, but it's by faith. I go, yeah, but you're killing me. I'm paying $25 every time that check bounces. So please don't do that. Please, listen. We never want you, say this, to sacrifice your family. You pay your mortgage. You put food on your table. You put clothes on your children's back. You do that. Amen? Then you give as God enables you. But do not neglect your family. It's not in the Bible. When you have preachers that this manipulation, it's a form of manipulation. If you'll give $100, then God will do this. Listen, there's some truth in it in Scripture. They take a nugget of truth in Scripture, but then they use it to manipulate you, and it's wrong. It's wrong. He says, God will provide, the Scripture says, they will give freely and generously to the poor, and your good deeds will be remembered forever. You know one of the things that's going to outlast you? Goes back to Cornelius. He prayed regularly, and he gave generously. See, think about Project Rescue. Just dream with me. We take a miracle offering September 27th for Project Rescue. Then you go to heaven, and some lady from Africa who went to Europe and was human trafficked and became a prostitute. She had to sell her body for some other. She didn't keep the money, for some other guy. And she was rescued and restored by Project Rescue. Then when you go to heaven, she comes to you and says, thank you for what you gave in that offering. Because of what you gave in that offering, there was a person there who came and rescued me. If you didn't give, she wouldn't be there. So your giving makes a difference. It lasts forever. It'll be remembered forever. And so we give not to get, we give to give. Amen? 1 Timothy 6:18, I promise I'm almost done. Tell them to use their money to do good. That's what Paul told Timothy, the pastor in Ephesus, use your money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. See that word generous again? Isn't it amazing how many times a day we've read the word generous? Always being ready to share with others. If you give God what's in your hands, God will give you what's in his hands. If you'll give God what's in your hands, God will give you what's in your hands. How about missionary giving? Look with me at Romans 15:23. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome. But now I've finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I'm eager to visit you. I'm planning to go to Spain, and when I do, I'll stop off in Rome. And if I enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey. That's all we give to missionaries. You gave to Kathy and I when we went to Egypt. We support missionaries on a monthly basis so they can go overseas and reach people where we're not. Now, in our church, we have three funds that you can give to. Number one, I want you to know what we do as a church. And I want you to know, if you ever have a question about our finances in our church, we're an open book. You don't even have to be a member. I'll show you. We'll sit down with our bookkeeper and go over our books. I've learned that if I have secrets, it causes mistrust. If you just say, hey, come look at it, people trust you, right? So come look at it. Number one is our general fund. And that's how we pay our bills. Pastoral salary, our light bill, our mortgage, our insurance. That's all that. And when you give on a regular Sunday morning, that money goes into our general fund, tithes and offerings, and it pays our bills. Number two, we have a building fund. And that's people, sometimes we have abundance in our general fund. Your elder board will say, hey, let's transition some to the building fund. Or this year, every fifth Sunday, all that offering goes to the building fund. And we do that for capital improvements. So we pay the second half of these screens with that fund. Those cameras were paid for out of that fund. And this year we've been able to do, again,
around $100,000 of building improvements through the building fund. Then number three, we have a missions fund. And through our missions fund, that's how we support missionaries on a monthly basis and how we support mission projects. Let me give you an example. Who saw the earthquake in Colombia? Y'all see the earthquake? Devastating. Devastating. There are two missionaries, Jimmy and Jill Souza, longtime missionaries. They're like 70 years old. They sent me a WhatsApp message. They're in Venezuela, but they were asked to go to help with the relief effort in Colombia. You're getting ready to go be with them in a few weeks. We've got a couple people going on a mission trip. They said, but Pastor Kevin, we can't pray for the airfare. They go, we don't have enough money in our missionary account to buy the airfare to go to Colombia to help with the earthquake relief. So I sent them a WhatsApp back, and I said, well, how much does that cost? They said $2,000, $1,000 each. And I sent them a text back, look, our church will do 1,000 of it if you can find another church to do the other 1,000. And so we were able just to send in money a week ago, $1,000 to help pay. And that came out of our missions fund. I didn't have to ask you for it because you already gave to missions. That money was in the missions fund, and we were able to use it for that. Isn't that great? So that's the kind of thing that happens when you give. We want you to know that. Last year, we gave $8,000 to Live Dead to send missionaries where there are no missionaries. Last year, we gave $8,000 when Randy Carter came in to build a Bible school in Peru. You built a dorm, a whole dorm for $8,000. Isn't that amazing? That dorm is built, and there are students in it today because of your generosity. So I'm going to read two more verses. We started with this. Deuteronomy 15:7. Look with me. If there are any poor in Israel in your towns, and you arrive in the land the Lord your God has given you, don't be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be what? Generous. Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously to the poor. Not grudgingly, not with a bad attitude, not reluctantly, not resentful. For the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. If you have your communion emblem, would you get it out, your communion? Maddie, you can come on forward. Does anybody not have communion? We want to serve you. Does anybody here not have their communion? Raise your hand. One down here front. Raise it up high. Dylan down here. Earl down here. If you don't have communion, raise your hand high. Has everybody got their communion? As I was thinking about the service today and how to illustrate why we give, I couldn't think of a better example than this. Why do you give to God? Because of this. God gave to you. See, communion is remembering what God did for you. I always think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he loved you so much, they did what? Gave his second best. No? Was God generous towards you? You better believe it. He gave Jesus. He didn't just give you money. He gave you his son. See, I don't, that's why that word, don't pressure people to give. Another word, a word for that's compulsion. He tells preachers, don't compulse people to give. I never want to do that. I never want to be guilty of that. I don't believe you have to be. So I believe it's the nature of God to give to us. And you become his child, his nature's in you. So if God's a giver, that means you're a giver. Because you're like your father. You're like your father. So this morning when we take communion, we take that miracle offering on the 27th. Will it do good? Yes. Is Project a good ministry? They've got a website. Search it. I've seen it firsthand. Kathy and I have known the founders. They're now retired, their daughter and son. You saw them all on the screen. But the Grants are famous. They've had an impact on us. And I believe in these people. I believe in these people. So it's a good ministry. But that's, okay, you save one person or
It's a good ministry. That's not why you give. It's not why. Give because of this. Now again, you decide. Bible says you decide what to give. If you're married, decide together. Don't write a bad check, please. I'm doing that. You decide to give. Not reluctantly, not grudgingly, but cheerfully. I'd rather for you to give $5 cheerfully than $5,000 reluctantly. I really would. I'd rather for you to give $5 and have joy in that $5 than give $5,000 in a bad attitude. Don't do that. Don't do that. So communion, three things we do there. Number one, we remember. We remember what Jesus did for you. I like to remember two things. One, the cross. Jesus died for me. Two, I like to remember when I got saved. So I'm going to ask you to do that. Will you remember what Jesus did for you at the cross? Then will you go back in your memory and remember when God changed your life? Did you do that right now? Father, we remember this morning what you did for us. I remember as a 9-year-old boy when the conviction of the Holy Spirit came on me and I knew I was a sinner. I need to be saved, and I'm grateful for that day. Jesus, I'm grateful that you willingly laid down your life, not because you committed a sin or a crime, but because I sinned, you died, rose again. And I'm grateful. Second thing the Bible says to do to communion is examine your own life. Don't examine your neighbor. Don't examine your spouse. Examine you. Are you living in a manner worthy of the cross? Are you living your life in a manner worthy of communion? So will you examine yourself right now? Father, right now we just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Is there anything in our life that's displeasing to you? We ask you to forgive us. You're here this morning and you say, Pastor Kevin, I recognize there's things in my life that I not need to be there. And I need to get right with God before I take communion. I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand right now? Pastor, that's me. There's things in my life that's not right. And I need forgiveness before I take communion. The Bible says don't take communion in an unworthy manner. So is anybody here? Pastor, that's me. Every head bowed, eye closed. Don't embarrass anybody. If you just simply raise your hand, Pastor, I need forgiveness. Did you raise your hand? Anybody? Okay. Would you stand with me? Take the bread. You know, there's one word today that we read over and over again, and that word was what? Generous. How generous was God to you and I? I mean, how generous was God to you and I? He's good. He's good. Father, we thank you for this bread that represents the body of Christ. You were generous to us. You didn't give your second best. You gave your best. Jesus, you laid down your life for us, and we are grateful. Grateful. Let's take the bread together. Did you open the juice? Juice represents the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says, by his blood we are healed. If you're here this morning and you're sick in body and you need to be healed, would you just raise your hand right now? You need a healing. Personally, you need a healing. Hands all over the sanctuary. I believe as you take this juice this morning, the healing power of Jesus is going to be released, and by faith you can be healed. You can be healed right here today. Doesn't have to be a show. It doesn't have to be an attraction. Because healing doesn't come through a man. It comes through the blood of Jesus. This right here heals you. Not me. I can't heal you. Jesus heals you. So you need healing today. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the blood that represents the juice that represents the blood of Jesus. And we believe the verse, by your wounds, by your stripes, your shed blood, we are healed. In Jesus' name, let's partake together.